Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. And today on my walk, I am considering the work of two eminent historians, David McCullough, author of Pulitzer Prize-winning presidential biographies, John Adams and Truman, and Yale professor Timothy Snyder, whose book, The Road to Unfreedom, is rocking my world. Now, I cite these scholars because both argue for the necessity of studying history. What Snyder does is Snyder urges upon me the necessity of examining history, especially contemporary history, lest I fall victim to a tyranny I may not even recognize as such. He writes this, "If we wish to have a better account of good and evil, we will have to resuscitate history. Read his book, you'll understand what he means, and I think you'll agree with him wholeheartedly." Now, Snyder's focus is the threat to democracy and the rule of law, a threat that comes from a revived Russian authoritarianism who spread to Europe and America, he chronicles in his book. More on that later this week. McCullough, on the other hand, he wants me to look deep into the history of our nation. And in his book, The American Spirit, which is a collection of speeches he has given over the last 25 years, McCullough writes, "To awaken a new generation of Americans to full participation in American life." But he stresses that, hey, if we're going to do that, we need an understanding of history in order to engage well on the American platform. And he writes this, "History, I like to think, is a larger way of looking at life. It is a source of strength, of inspiration. It is about who we are and what we stand for, and is essential to our understanding of what our own role should be in time." Now, I'm going to tackle contemporary history later this week when I dig into Timothy Snyder's The Road to Unfreedom. But today, I want to look further into our past, all the way back to 1775 when a small boy stood with his mother on a knoll watching the Battle of Bunker Hill. And the boy was John Quincy Adams. As McCullough writes, "Quincy Adams, diplomat, senator, secretary of state, and president, who in his lifetime had seen more, contributed more to the history of his time than almost anyone, and who, as no former president ever had, returned to the Hill to take a seat in the House of Representatives in the 22nd Congress and thrilled at the prospect. And it was here that this extraordinary American had perhaps his finest hour." Now, I want you to think with me for a moment about all that John Quincy Adams accomplished after he was president. Adams, the only former president to be elected to the House of Representatives, served in the House, get this, from 1830 till the day he collapsed on the House floor in 1848, dying just 2 days later at the age of 80. Now, as McCullough notes, we are indebted to him for the following: for the establishment of the Smithsonian Institution, for ending of the gag rule, which was imposed by Southerners to stifle debates on slavery. And that act alone helped pave the long road to ending slavery. We need to appreciate Adams for arguing on behalf of escaped African slaves in the Amistad case, winning release of the captives. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Amistad, you'll know what I'm talking about. He argued to honor U.S. Army officers who fought in the Mexican-American War. And what's interesting about this is back when that war started, Adams was the guy who was against it, but he felt it was America's duty to honor its veterans. And that's where you found him the day that he collapsed on the House floor. Now listen to McCullough's commentary on Adams and his reading of a journal entry from Adams' diary in 1841 when Adams was 74 years of age.
"John Quincy Adams is a reminder that giants come in all shapes and sizes, and that at times they have walked these halls. Their voices have been heard, their spirit felt here." Listen, please, to this from his diary, from March 29, 1841. "The world, the flesh, and all the devils in hell are arrayed against any man who now in this North American Union shall dare to join the standard of Almighty God to put down the African slave trade. And what can I, upon the verge of my 74th birthday, with a shaking hand, a darkening eye, a drowsy brain, and with all my faculties dropping from me one by one as the teeth are dropping from my head, what can I do for the cause of God and man?
I love to hear an author read his own work, especially when that author is David McCullough, who has been writing for such a long time and giving us such amazing historical works. Well, I've titled this podcast, In Praise of Old Guys, in honor of so many who refuse to quit, in honor of those who may have, quote, retired from their first career, but refuse to be put out to pasture. You know, the psalmist writes, "So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." That's Psalm 90:12. And I think history helps us to do just that. And that is why, in part, both McCullough and Snyder urge us to pursue the study of history. So my aha moment today is, you're never too old. You're never too old to make a difference, or for that matter, you're never too old to begin studying history. And this little study has me looking at my own life and future. Hey, what am I going to do with my older years? It also helps me to appreciate afresh those who are older and avoid the mistaken notion that the young and beautiful have a monopoly on insight and impact and influence. You know, if John Quincy Adams' older years were in some ways his best years, then with the poet Robert Browning, we can say, "Grow old along with me. The best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in his hand who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid." Well, in praise of old guys, that's my thought on my walk with David McCullough and his book, The American Spirit, Who We Are and What We Stand For. Now, what you do with it? Hey, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.